And as we do every Tuesday, we talk to Kinza from the Heart and Stroke Foundation, and we talk about matters of the heart and strokes and the connections between the heart, strokes, and your general health. And today will be no different. We're talking about World Obesity Day. And Kinza, very good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Randy, and your listeners.
And Kinza, thanks once again for joining us. March the 4th is recognized as World Obesity Day. What was the theme for this year? Because that took place yesterday. What was the theme for the 2024 World Obesity Day?
Yes, so the theme, which is driven by the World Obesity Federation, it's Let's Talk About Obesity And. And the idea is to fill in the gap with factors that influence obesity. And so the Heart and Stroke Foundation South Africa, we align ourselves with the World Obesity Federation, but we've sort of just extended the theme in order to include a life course approach. So we are focusing for this entire month on obesity over the life course, just to address the fact that obesity can occur across various ages and stages of life and how we can intervene at those different stages.
And Kinza, what is obesity and how do I know if I am obese?
So obesity is defined as an abnormal or excessive accumulation of fat in the body and is the most common measure that we use to identify if someone is obese or not is the body mass index, which is our weight in kgs divided by our height in meters squared. And if that number is greater than 30, then you'd be considered as obese. However, we understand that, you know, BMI doesn't take into consideration factors such as muscle mass. So we always say to, along with the BMI, to check our waist circumference, which is to measure our abdominal fat. And we take a tape measure and you get it right around your stomach and read off the value at the level of your belly button. Okay. And if the number is in men, if the number is greater than 102 centimeters, then you'd be classified as obese, whereas for women, that number is greater than 88 centimeters. Okay. So those are the two most, you know, accessible ways of finding out. There are other methods such as skin folds for fat percentage, but we tend to stick to BMI and waist circumference.
Right. So that makes sense. And then, Kinza, can you share with us the current statistics pertaining to obesity and why is being overweight or obese a medical risk factor and a risk for CVD?
Yes. So according to the World Obesity Federation, currently around the world, there are about 800 million people that are living with obesity. And childhood obesity is also of a major concern, and it's expected to increase by 60% over the next decade. If we look in South Africa alone, almost 65% of women and 30% of men are classified as being overweight or obese. And in the children's category, between the and 14 years, about 13.5% are weight or obese. So the numbers are quite concerning, and really the obesity has tripled since 1975. And what's actually been found is that all the bias, stigma, and discrimination that's been faced by individuals living with obesity actually has contributed to this increased morbidity and mortality that we're seeing across the globe. But it is very important to understand that we need to shift away from, you know, how an obese person looks and rather focus on the risk factors associated with being obese. You have increased risk of developing certain medical conditions such as high blood pressure and diabetes, which in turn increases your risk for heart disease and strokes. So that's what our focus is what are the health risks associated with the condition? Right. That's what our focus should be on.
And that would probably also take away a kind of a stigma, if I can use that word, that goes along with being big. And the Heart and Stroke Foundation is paying attention to obesity over the life courses. Can you elaborate on this? Because obviously the Heart and Stroke Foundation has got a very big interest in obesity because of the risks.
Yes, definitely. So basically we just want to, you know, shed light on the fact that there's an intergenerational cycle of obesity that exists. And, you know, obesity has the potential of beginning as early as in utero. And what they've been, what's been found is that if an expecting mother is obese, then this can increase the risk of the baby developing childhood obesity and heart diseases later on in life. So that's, we sort of starting off from the very beginning, and we say, okay, well, that would imply we need to start intervening perhaps with the, you know, the expecting mother, see how we can assist her. Actually, changing a lifestyle. So, because especially during that pregnancy period, you know, it's viewed as a teachable period where women are more open to public health messages.
Yes.
But thereafter, it's also very important that there's so many different windows of opportunity, even after that. I mean, once the baby's born, there's, you can look at the infant feeding methods. It's been found that, you know, exclusive breastfeeding and breastfeeding for long periods of time, for a long period of time, after about a year, has actually assisted, has benefits. It's shown that it allows for normal development of appetite regulation, for example, in the baby.
Uh-huh.
So our aim is just to sort of give out that message that, yes, while we want to focus on, you know, once you have an adult and that adult is obese, well, how can we intervene and assist them? But just to recognize that it can begin very, very early on. And at each stage of our life course, there is a point where we can intervene to reduce that risk.
Right. And Kinza, just thinking about the accessing mums-to-be,
Yes.
talking to women in that pregnancy period is probably a time when people are most likely to be going to clinics and healthcare providers.
Yes, definitely. So obviously, mothers that are expecting are encouraged to go, obviously, for their follow-ups, you know, whether it's every month, every 2 months, as the healthcare professional allows for it to happen. And so we recognize that that is a very, very crucial period in which you can actually have a role to play in assisting how that child's health will actually be before they're even born. So definitely is that period is important.
Then what is the relationship between gut health and obesity?
So it's important, you know, while we speak about, you know, interventions for obesity, we're talking about how do we adjust our diet? How do we exercise? How do we help an individual? But it's also important to just keep an eye on evidence that's coming out, new evidence, and how we can actually assist someone that's obese. And the relationship between gut health and obesity is one of those things. So we've mentioned before that, you know, our gut contains different bacteria. Some are good, and but there are some unhealthy ones which have actually been linked to conditions such as obesity. So in essence, if we can manage certain lifestyle factors such as our diet and stress, this can actually influence the health of our gut. So again, trying to include probiotics that are found in foods like our yogurt can actually assist in preventing our gut from being sort of overtaken by those unhealthy bacteria. So that's just an example of, you know, new evidence that's coming out, which we can actually apply to assist someone that's obese.
And Kinza, what's needed to, or what is to be considered in order to address the obesity epidemic, which is kind of worldwide what it's coming to?
Yes. So I think in addition to, you know, identifying the different, targeting the different phases of life course, like we've mentioned, educating individuals, educating groups. I think it's important to recognize that sometimes you do need a much bigger approach, such as a mass public intervention or policies that can actually influence different systems that contribute to obesogenic environments.
Yes.
We've understood that the roots of obesity run very deep, and they're actually linked to what we call the social determinants of health, such as education access, healthcare access. So all of these factors are what we actually need to take into consideration when we want to try and tackle this challenge of obesity. I mean, it's in simple words, it's simple to tell someone to not drink something or eat something that, you know, could cause weight gain. But if that's all they can afford, then
That's
obviously
what
we need a different approach.
Right.
And that's when we speak about policies and we speak about mass public interventions, such as the sugar sweetened beverage tax, as an example.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the kind of approaches we need to implement and make sure that they're being adhered to.
And the roles that the Heart and Stroke Foundation play in obesity prevention, are there specific programs and initiatives that address the burden of obesity amongst children and adults?
Yes, so we have different programs targeting different age groups. So one of our programs is our School Health Promotion Initiative, where we focus on the youth and, you know, we give them a talk on living healthily and then also encourage their staff to know their health status. And then we conduct health risk assessments to anyone over the age of 18 years in public spaces or events. And this encourages the individual to know their numbers, to know if they're at risk of any of the diseases, be it obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. Of course, we also have our HeartMark endorsement program with the HeartMark logo, which assists shoppers or consumers to identify foods that are low or don't have the added bad stuff, the added sugar, the added salt, the added saturated fats. And really, we're currently always doing ongoing research, you know, on what the new evidence is saying about obesity, what are the numbers, how's the risks looking. And that's just to equip the public, but also to equip healthcare professionals so that it can assist them in their practice.
In their practice. And the synergy between the Heart and Stroke Foundation and global organizations such as the World Obesity Federation and the World Health Organization, what are the synergies there?
So we basically obviously recognize that, you know, we need to align ourselves with these kind of organizations because the messages they give out are obviously evidence-based. It's done on research and it's relevant to be spoken about during such health campaigns like World Obesity Day. So our role, really what we like to do is to take that evidence and understand it and really just try and see how it applies in the South African context.
Right. And Kinza, last question, where can listeners get more information about what we've spoken about and the resources that the Heart and Stroke Foundation makes available?
On our website, www.heartfoundation.co.za, and follow us on our social media pages on Facebook and Instagram, and the public is also more than welcome to get in touch with us directly on our health chat line. And the number for that is 021-422-1586.
Right. Kinza, thank you very, very much. Have a great week and looking forward to chatting again next week, Tuesday.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure, Wade.
Thanks, Kinza. Cheerio then. And that's Kinza from the Heart and Stroke Foundation chatting to us this morning. And don't forget that this chat will be on our website later on today and also shared on the Heart and Stroke Foundation's Facebook channels.